Images of hell are found all through the scriptures, and they often have to do with fire and heat. So if this is to be taken literally, we're in trouble here in Southwest Florida. It's been hot the last few weeks, and even hotter here than in Oklahoma, and let me tell you, I know about heat, okay? This may not be the paradise the Chamber of Commerce would like to portray. But when Jesus speaks of hell, he's often referring physically to a ravine outside Jerusalem city. It's a ravine that was used by earlier religious sects that sacrificed human life. Because of that, the Jewish people would not go near the place, and it became the city dump, a wasteland outside Jerusalem that was smoldering, a stinking place that everyone avoided. The physical feature here is important. It's outside the city, it's always burning, and no one wanted to go there. With that image in mind, there comes this episode in Luke's gospel. And what emerges here is of great importance with that word chasm. There is a great separation that exists between that rich man and everyone else. It's a chasm that was there before he died. He just didn't notice it then. He didn't notice a lot of things before it was too late. That poor man was right there at his front door. There is no way in the world that he didn't notice him. He would have had to step over him or walk around him to go in and out. But maybe that rich man was already so walled up in his life that he never went out. The fact of the matter is, this rich man simply learned to look the other way. And with Jesus, that's a problem. Urban life for us these days makes it really easy to do that. It is now so easy with our freeways and turnpikes to speed past neighborhoods where Lazarus still lives and never notice anything we don't want to see. But those people are still there, and the result is still the same. As it was then, so it is now. Lazarus and everyone like him remains invisible, especially when we look the other way. It fascinates me the way Luke reports this parable. Notice that the rich man, still, even at the end, does not really see Lazarus. What he really sees is what Lazarus has. The rich man's not connected in any way that binds us all together as human beings. He's outside. He lives in privilege and in power, and he begs, get that, he begs Abraham, not Lazarus, because he assumes that Abraham is a powerful and influential figure like he is. He wants to order Lazarus around like a slave or a servant because he still thinks he's so privileged. He says, send Lazarus. You get it? He still thinks Lazarus is not equal to him. Then he tries to extend his class privilege and hereditary lineage by pleading for his brothers. This guy's clueless. What he needs is a change of vocabulary that would reveal a change of heart. Instead of saying me, he needs to say we. He needs to demonstrate that he gets exactly what it is that Jesus is about with his ministry among us. Clan, class privilege, all that stuff is gone in the kingdom of God. among those who are citizens of that kingdom, there's only one concept, ours. And that includes everyone the Creator refers to as my own. You know, in the end, God's the only one who can really say mine. When that happens, death will appear as a promise instead of as a threat. And we will not be content until that promise comes true in that age that Paul has written about in his letter to Timothy. That rich man, like so many still today, has locked himself up in his own little world. And while it might be very fine for a while, it doesn't take long to realize that there is a chasm that can't be bridged. And it's really lonely on the other side. We must take careful note that this man is not condemned for his wealth. It has nothing to do with where he finds himself. He's condemned because he didn't do anything with his wealth except wall himself up and look the other way. What Jesus condemns is using wealth to separate ourselves from others rather than enrich others. There is a great responsibility that comes with wealth. We must put people before possessions and relationships before belongings. That's all there is to it. The hunger that drives us cannot be for material things, but for loving, personal relationship with the God who's created us. And nothing else will ever do.